Hello, everybody, and welcome to Backstage Gaming, dramatic takes on your favorite games. I'm Chris.
And I'm Dylan.
And welcome to 2022. Boy, howdy, right now it's feeling like second verse same as the first so far, but we're out here.
To quote Linkin Park, together we made it. We made it even though we had our backs up against the wall. Forever we waited. No, sorry.
I have not quoted Linkin Park in a decade, probably. they got some great tunes though.
that was their collab song with Busta Rhymes.
I forgot that happened. They collabed with so many people. There were so many Linkin. Hang on. Okay.
Yeah. Everybody, how many rappers did Linkin Park collab with?
I'm have to Google Linkin Park collaborations. Everyone, this week we're going to be talking about video game advertisement. We did our live show back in 2019. I think.
Yes. God.
Yeah, it's been a minute, but we did.
It would have had to be 2019, right?
Yeah, because it was associated with C2E2 of 2019. We did a live show. That was a blast. We talked about video game ads, but it was a very different sort of vibe than our usual stuff because, you know, we were playing to the audience and we were trying to kind of like, you know, play to the crowd, leaving room for laughs, be a little goofier than we usually are, which is saying something. we're going to get to that, but first I need to finish Googling Linkin Park collaborations.
Okay.
Because, well, there's a Billboard chart titled Linkin Park's 5 Best Hip Hop Collaborations. So it's more than 5. Jesus Christ.
We'll use that as a springboard.
Okay, here is the full list. This is a Tidal playlist created by Tidal of Linkin Park collaborations. Numb and Encore, Jay-Z and Linkin Park. I'll Be Gone, Feet Pusha T. Dirt Off Your Shoulder with Jay-Z. Big Pimpin' with Jay-Z. Slow Your Roll with Young Buck. So that was just Chester Bennington, not Linkin Park proper. So a lot with Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Several with Fort Minor.
I should hope so. They made an entire album together.
Yeah, that album fucking slaps.
It's so good.
Several with Fort Minor. Paige Hamilton.
Oh, shit. They did
John
work with
Legend.
Fort Minor.
They did a collab with John Legend.
Wait, excuse me? Hi, welcome to the Linkin Park podcast, everybody.
Yeah, and then
I now have a new hyperfixation.
This is a wild list of songs. Oh, they did a cover that did Chester Bennington again, not Linkin Park proper, but Chester Bennington was featured on a Santana song called Riders on the Storm. We need to stop. This was as funny as I hoped it would be, but we have to move on or this entire episode will be about Linkin Park.
All I'm going to leave this at is, and maybe we'll even call back to this Linkin Park conversation later down the episode. I might have something, maybe, possibly. What I will say, though, is, man, I wish there's a part of me just because of this that wishes that I stayed down the Linkin Park rabbit hole. But like, I feel like that's kind of impossible. Like, Linkin Park's such a time and place.
Yeah, very, very much so. Though, again, I have revisited specifically the collab album they did with Jay-Z, and it was very good. We need to climb out of the Linkin Park hole immediately.
Okay.
It's been,
if you guys think we should do an episode based on Linkin Park, you can hit us up on
Twitter. Let us know on Twitter, but this episode isn't, although we've already spent 3 minutes talking about Christ alive, I love
it. Okay, yeah, let's move on.
So Dylan,
what
brought the idea of game advertising back into your brain? Because this is, again, this is something we sort of touched on a few years ago, but you brought it up, and I'm wondering.
In the live show, we talked a little bit about Nintendo's Who Are You campaign and Sony's Live in Your World, Play in Ours. Like, those are both equally powerful slogans, and I love them a lot. And I guess, like, I was kind of thinking about how immersion used to be marketed, and the act of role playing as a character or like living in this world. It's really cool, and I've always really liked that. We don't really have an equivalent to that nowadays, and I thought it would be kind of interesting to kind of reflect on this period of video game advertising that we grew up with, the one that I'm most fond of. And kind of contrasting it with how do games get sold now, you know? Because it's a very different vibe. I think there's something interesting to be gained from examining that.
Yeah, it very much is. There's definitely a sense, and I will admit I don't get served a ton of like video game ads.
I unfortunately do. Sometimes they're good.
Then you'll have to be the expert in the chair today.
Okay.
But I remember seeing like it seems like we're almost getting back to that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like the PlayStation 5 ads that I've been served they're going for this, like, they're trying to sell this sense of grandeur in a way that I haven't really seen before. Like, all of the ads are focused on like these big, expansive exploration based games that have kind of come to be associated with the PlayStation, like, exclusivity.
Okay.
And then, like, juxtaposing that with shit like the moon landing and, like, man learning to fly. And, like, it's not the same thing, because we can get into this in a second. Those ad campaigns that you were talking about were, like, a very specific level of, like, selling the idea of immersion.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, those are the ads that I have seen recently that made me, that like struck me as being the most kind of similar, if not conceptually, at least in like sort of serious mindedness to the game, to the ads I remember seeing as a kid.
I'm looking at a PlayStation 5. It's not really a commercial because it's 2.5 minutes, but.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, I'm watching it. And it's just like a bunch of people chasing each other through a city. There's like a guy like wearing like a crown playing chess. And like every now and then I'll see like a poster of Nathan Drake and like Chloe in the background, or, you know, some equivalent iconic Sony, like modern Sony character. But like really, it's just a lot of people just running around a city or looking dramatically at the TV screen. And I don't know if they're actually advertising a game. Like, there's moments where I'm like, that seems vaguely reminiscent of the PS5's UI, or,
oh, God. You know,
but like, I'm not actually, someone's flying a helicopter and nothing's happening. The top comment for this trailer is, this is the greatest trailer for absolutely nothing I've ever seen.
Amazing.
I'm actively looking for, like, maybe that is that like a, is that a Battlefield logo I'm seeing or something? I'm really confused. Sorry, we keep derailing the
episode. No, you're fine. I'm enjoying your descent into madness.
I don't get it. This is like the top result. I looked up PlayStation 5 commercial 2021, and I have proceeded to see no video game footage. I've seen, like, one thing of Nathan Drake and Chloe. They were on a poster, on a building, in the background. Like, I did this so I could see, like, what you were talking about with, like, the advertisements you were getting. But, like, now I'm more confused.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the weird thing is, like, when you're advertising the console, like, what do you have to go there? We used to be in a where, it, like, and maybe this is still a thing. I have not bought a video game console since, like, the Nintendo Switch back in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, have we just gotten to the point where, like, what people are looking to purchase? Like, what, let me reorient my thoughts.
Chris, can I cut you off again?
Yeah, go for it.
I have found another video game character 2 minutes and 25 seconds into this 2 minutes and 34 second video that I recognize.
No.
And I actually, like, I didn't register it at first because it is a statue of Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn, except, you know, she's a statue, so her most defining features are kind of obscured until you get the close-up shot of her. At the very
fuck?
End of the commercial, and I wouldn't have realized that was her if not for her white girl dreads.
Like,
I'll send you a picture.
Yeah, okay, so let's pivot off of this and let's talk about,
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Let's talk about, like, the thing that we are going to draw comparison to, because that, if that is at all indicative of modern day ads for video games. Boy, howdy! We're a long way from
I feel
who
like
are
this
you?
Could be a new version of Spot the Dud. I'm not kidding. Like, look at that!
It's just a bunch of kids partying at the Lincoln Memorial, but the Lincoln Memorial instead of Abraham Lincoln, it's Aloy Horizon Zero Dawn. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Anyway,
let's talk about what we came here to talk about.
Yeah. So, Dylan, what was the "Who Are You" campaign? Because I remember these, and they were so fucking good. God, it's weird to like wax poetic about ads, but
I mean, I think there is a certain artistry to advertisements. And,
oh, absolutely.
Like, a really good ad makes you kind of feel emotionally involved with the product in some way. And I think a lot of commercials, especially in the early 2000s, I don't know why that was the time, but I think they did like a really good job. So like the "Who Are You" Nintendo commercial I always think of is there is a woman in a basketball court and she starts running and she like I think someone alley-oops the ball to her and she starts somersaulting into the air and dunks it so hard the rim and backboard just fall off.
Yes.
And she strikes like a perfect 3-point landing and it says, "Who are you?" And then it shows footage of Samus doing the screw attack.
Yeah.
Which is what her somersaulting is based off of.
So good. There was another one I remember for Pikmin.
Mm-hmm.
Where, I need to hang on, I'm gonna look this up so I make sure I'm describing it correctly, because I mostly
fine.
Just
you
remember liking
no
it.
No one's going to verify this. No one's gonna be like, actually, Chris, the Pikmin commercial. And if they are, like, we can just laugh at them. this is me in a very mean way saying, please don't correct us. We're doing our best.
What I remember, and I might be conjuring this from whole cloth, but what I remember is it being sort of a similar vibe of like somebody doing kind of a mundane activity. In this case, it was like a kid going on a hike in the woods, and as the kid is hiking around, the foliage gets bigger and bigger, and you start seeing like Pikmin peeking out from behind trees, and there's like one of the big giant ladybug things trampling in the distance.
Wait, I
just
feel like
again,
I remember that. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I know what you're talking about. Hold on. That would have been a Pikmin 2 commercial, because the original Pikmin commercial was like a nature documentary. Like,
yeah.
That's how they were framing the gameplay footage.
Which is its own really clever
super charming
ad.
Yeah, I'm looking at a commercial where there's a bunch of people in Pikmin costumes running through the streets of...
that's also very good. Maybe I conjured this one out of whole cloth. I'm not sure, but... Like, there were also a bunch of different, let's see, I remember there being a bunch of print ads.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, these ones were great. There were print ads for, like, magazines where it was, "Who are you?" And it was just, like, a photo of a person.
Yes.
And then they taped some piece of Nintendo iconography, like, taped. It was edited to look like there was a piece of Nintendo iconography taped over a part of the image. So there's one of... for Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga for the Game Boy Advance, where it's two people going on a hike, and it looks like they've crudely taped Mario and Luigi's faces
yes.
onto them.
I remember two of these. I remember one where there was a sumo wrestler.
Which is a
with
very
Donkey Kong
good
face.
Image.
Yes. I remember a sumo wrestler with Donkey Kong's face taped on. And I remember another one, which was like this lady like on a hill overlooking a cityscape. And she has both of her arms in the air, but her right arm taped over it is Samus's power beam.
Yup, yup, it's so good.
Yeah, and it's like, they don't necessarily advertise the game particularly well, and I've seen like a lot of people complain about that, but like, also, shut up, because I think it's more important to sell a fantasy than it is to sell a game.
Yeah, this was also, I think, part of what made this era of game advertising, because there was also the live in your world, play in ours
yeah.
ads from PlayStation that were very like, I'm trying to remember, like the general conceit was always like kind the main character of the ad being isekai'd into a game world a little bit.
Right. And I think a lot of advertisements, like even without these slogans, what they would do is they would catch the, you know, these aired on like children's networks like Nickelodeon, WB, or I guess I should say Fox, whatever, kids WB. You know, like they would show, sometimes it would be like the character just kind of hanging around, like doing stuff in the real world, or like other times it would be like really abstract and bizarre, to catch your attention. And then as your brain is trying to make sense of what it is you're watching, it's like, it's a video game. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Part of what sort of allowed these ads to be what they are is that this was an era before we had the ability to do anything approaching photorealistic graphics. Like, the GameCube and the PS2 were still very solidly in, these are polygons that you are looking at. These are rigs. It was a step up from the previous stuff, and there are some GameCube games that you can go back to that still look real good, but like, you're never going to mistake them for the attempts at photorealism that we started to get with like the next console generation.
Excuse and the you, PlayStation Silent 3 Hill and 3 looks fucking incredible. Anyway.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
when the 360 and the PS3 came out, suddenly technology jumped enough that became a lot more of what was like being used to sell games, was like the graphics, the fidelity, the
right,
you know, all of this kind of stuff. And I hope we're on our way out of that era.
I don't
because
think
there's only
be
so good
out.
I care about trees looking.
No, I mean, like, as far as graphics, maybe, hopefully, if we cross our fingers hard enough. But, like, I feel like technical specs are always going to be, especially since, like, I feel like the video game industry, like, in terms of advertising and, like, hype culture is so much more targeted towards people our age. I feel like,
yeah,
maybe I'm off base with that. But, like, my understanding is, like, millennials are still like the main target demographic for video game advertising.
Yeah.
But who knows? Who knows what is actually the case? I don't have children, so I don't.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows what's being shoved at those crazy youths?
The Fortnites.
Oh my god. Yeah, Ryu, that new Fortnite character.
Oh my god, I forgot. Okay, this is a really slap happy episode. I'm sorry.
You know what? Sometimes that's fun.
I am having fun. I hope you, the listener at home, are having fun as well.
Hopefully. But yeah, so I think that it's interesting. Like, I think part of the shift is that kind of gearing over. And I think that honestly, it really is like when we were kids, there were definitely games being aimed at people who were, you know, were then our age now. Like, there were games targeted at, like, the mid-20s and up crowd back then.
I remember there being commercials for, like, Metal Gear Solid 2 and, maybe not Manhunt, but, like, whatever. Like, dark, violent video games were being advertised.
Yeah. But I think that the, like, attitude of the industry, however true this was of the actual like people who were buying the games, but I think the attitude of the people who were trying to sell the games was still very much in the like, we want to sell this to kids, so we need to make it look like the kind of thing that a kid would ask their parents to get for them or ask for money for their parents from their parents for. And I think that part of the shift towards those like technical specs being more and more the focus of at least how the consoles are advertised and like the graphics being the focus of the game advertisement comes with people our age have our own money now.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've aged up like what they are catering, what they are trying to, or the way they are trying to sell it, but they're still selling to the same sort of general target demographic as that demographic has aged up.
Right.
But also like, I wish they wouldn't. I can't name an ad campaign for a console generation after the GameCube and PS2, and that is for sure.
Way beyond.
Sorry, what?
That was the initial PS3 slogan. They had like they tried doing like the Sega Saturn Theater of the Eye. For people who want an explanation of what that is, you should watch our live episode.
Yeah, it's very funny. I think.
But like, yeah, like just really surrealist, Lynchian kind of like weirdness. And the slogan at the end of every commercial was "Play Beyond." I do remember PSP had like a mascot. I can't remember what his name was. I think he was just some kid, like David or Daniel or something. I don't remember a lot of those. But the commercials that I do remember, in high school, they had a, I can't remember if it had a slogan, but like the commercial itself was like Michael, and it was a bunch of, actors dressed as various video game characters kind of having a toast to the player. And I think we've talked about this commercial before on the show. And they're talking like Ezio's like, Michael was there for me when the Templar slaughtered my family. You know, I think Lightning's in the bar from Final Fantasy 13. But yeah, you have like a bunch of people being like, man, Michael's just the coolest. We love Michael. And it's kind of a fun, like, yeah, the all of your achievements that you're raking in on the video games, like, the characters are grateful for that, you know.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I think
that was
that
the
was
dawn
the
of achievements.
Yeah. I don't, like, it wasn't, like, actively advertising achievements, but that was always kind of the energy I felt from that. Like, the game remembers all the great stuff you did.
That's really funny.
It was cute. I remember that commercial fondly. Maybe not, like, as fondly as some others, but it's all good. Yeah, and I guess it's, like, if we look at modern commercials, like, I frequently get a Nintendo Switch commercial that is just kind of a pop song with, like, a clip show playing in the background, and I'm like, this is cool, I guess, but I kind of want to see something a little bit more focused, something a little bit more, like, this is a video game that is now out only on the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
You know? I think that really started with the Wii Would Like to Play commercials, like back in like 2007 for the Nintendo Wii.
Yeah. Oh man, I forgot about those.
Yeah, you have these two Japanese salesmen who would go from door to door and ring on the doorbell, and like the dad of a family would answer, and they would hold out a Wii remote and go, "We would like to play." And it would show all the games they're having fun playing, and like it's a montage of how much fun everyone's having. And again, it's cool, but I remember even as a kid being like, I wish that, you know, it's like, yes, you are selling the Nintendo experience, like this is what you will be doing when you have a Nintendo Wii, but like the kid in me that liked to imagine and go on adventures, like, kind of misses that that more selling a fantasy rather than selling a console type of marketing.
Yeah. I wonder how much of that also is due to the rise of, like, things like YouTube and Twitch making E3, the Game Awards, you know, name your big video game event into, like, a much more accessible thing.
Yeah. I like, totally think that's a huge part of it.
You know, that's where people are going for game advertisements now, in the form of trailers and gameplay and you know, their favorite Let's Player getting an advanced copy or a demo build of a game, or, you know,
that was actually what I was going to transition to.
Oh, we are on the same page somehow in this.
Exactly.
This miasma of an episode.
but I totally think it's like, yeah, it's all about influencers, social media campaigns. Like, if you like Square Enix games, you will probably have you will probably follow or at least see promoted tweets from the Square Enix account that advertise whatever game is coming out. You know, you probably follow, if you are into video games, like as a culture, you probably follow at least one Twitch streamer or Let's Player, and they are probably a primary source of video game news for you. I know I found out, like, I saw Hades in, like, an E3 trailer or something like that, but, like, I didn't actually get into Hades until I saw a Let's Player play it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had friends uploading clips on Twitter. Sorry, what were you saying, Chris?
No, I was going to say, like, I think that really is a big part of it. Like, the way that we... finding out about games, finding out about new releases has become a much more active thing.
And it's really weird to me how, like, companies, they don't rely on word of mouth, but like they definitely know that word of mouth is probably the best way to get a buzz around your game.
Yeah, they rely on artificial word of mouth, i.e. influencers.
Well, yes, but like, you know, like it starts there instead of like TV or in an advertisement you see on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
No one has cable anymore. We're all a bunch of poor millennials.
Yes. I have an Amazon Fire Stick that I use to watch Hulu.
Ooh.
This is not sponsored.
But it could be. Where's our money, Amazon?
Bezos, fork it over. Wow.
What is the energy?
I don't know, but I'm into it. Yeah, I don't have a ton more. I this is less like a focus, like this is what we want to get across to you, and more just unless you have a more focused theme that we haven't gotten to yet.
I guess like it's 2022, baby. We're 2 years into a pandemic, Bubby.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of playing it fast and loose with this entire Backstage Gaming project. What?
That's but yeah, like I think that, you know, it's interesting to look at the trends in how these things are sold and sort of the narratives that are being built in these ads, because speaking as a voice actor who has done commercial voiceover work, all ads are stories.
Mm-hmm.
They can be abstract, but they're all trying to tell a story, and that story tends to end in, "And then you bought our shit." And so it's interesting to look at the way that ads, especially about things like video games that are such narrative and like tactile things, are formulated and how that changes over time.
I will say one more thing, more advertising thing we didn't touch on. There are a shocking number of video game advertisements that have been popping up in YouTube that are just like, here's footage of the game set to a famous song. See Final Fantasy 15 set to Florence and the Machine's cover of Stand By Me.
Oh, right.
see Final Fantasy 7 Remake set to, I don't know the band, but it is a cover of Despite All My Rage, I Am Still Just a Rat in a Cage.
Yeah, and then recently there was the Final Fantasy 14 set to a cover of Fly Me to the Moon.
That's what it was. I was trying to remember. And also, this is a completely different game by a completely different person, someone who does not promote NFTs, but It Takes Two, that also had like, it was set to the famous song that I'm now drawing a blank on. But, you know, it's kind of fun, like a little sizzle reel, kind of like a movie trailer, except in a played in a fraction of the time.
Yeah.
Here's the gameplay. Here's a quick snippet of a cutscene. Here's a catchy song that, like, you probably remember. Yeah, it's all cool. It's just, it feels very efficient. Efficient might not be the right term, but, like, I don't know. Bring back weird commercials. That's all I'm saying.
I would love more weird ads.
And to tie it back to Linkin Park really quick, a lot of games that I discovered were through Linkin Park AMVs. Will you elaborate, Dylan? No.
No, that will go with you to your grave, I assume.
No, I mean, like, a bunch of Tales games and Final Fantasy games that I hadn't been exposed to, I grew exposed to just through fan content being put out. And I think, to tie back to earlier, like, word of mouth stuff, I do think that, like, not even necessarily fandom, but fandom works. Have been really good in promoting and circulating and driving up interest for a lot of different games, at least for me, speaking personally in my own experience. And it's going to be interesting to see how this increased reliance on fan output for game advertisement, how that, if that takes any sort of interesting shape.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it's just a matter of kind of figuring out exactly what that'll be, and
right,
who knows,
how
maybe
to incentivize the influencers to
I think the answer is usually money, but anyway,
I think it's time.
Yeah, I'm satisfied with that. I hope you are satisfied with this very strange energy that we brought to the recording table today. Let us know on social media about your favorite old or new video game ad campaign. I'm much less familiar with anything in the last like 10-ish years, so I'm excited to get some weird stuff, I hope. Yeah, the weirder the better. Send it to us. And Dylan will tell you in a minute how to send those to us on social media. But before that, let me say thank you for listening to Backstage Gaming. I hope you enjoyed it. We hope that you will be back again in a couple weeks to listen to our next episode. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, on the iTunes Store, Google Play, the Spotify, Stitcher, your podcatcher of choice. I recently found out Spotify recently added the ability to rate podcasts. So if you like us, maybe drop a rating there as well as in iTunes. It does help things out somehow, analytics-wise. I'm not smart enough to understand that aspect of all of this, but I know that stars make brain go burr, so leave lots of stars. You can also find us at our website, bsgpod.com, if you want to know more about us, if you want to know more about the show, if you want to contact us directly for whatever reason, you can check that out there, bsgpod.com. Hey, Dylan, what about social media?
Yeah, if you want to hit us up on social media, you can find us on Facebook and on Twitter, where our handle is at @BSG_cast. And if you want to engage with us, we always appreciate it when you use the hashtag BSGPod. That is BSGPOD. Also, huge thanks to our friend Brendan French for the key art he has provided our show. If you dig his stuff, you can find him on his Squarespace at brennan-french.squarespace.com. That is brennen-french.squarespace.com. Or on his Instagram at instagram.com/BrennanFrenchArts. And on his Twitter at Brennan_French.
You should also go check out our friend BioQuery. He's the musician behind our theme song, Dots on Radio, Volume 1, Instrumentality. You can find all of the rest of his music by going to soundcloud.com/BioQuery. That's soundcloud.com/BioQuery. Or by searching for BioQuery on Spotify. Thanks, as always, to the HP Video Game Podcast Network for having us on the network. It's a podcast full of other podcasts about video games, so go check out the rest of them. I tripped over my words a little bit there, but I don't remember where, so I'm going to keep on powering through. You can find all of the other shows on the network by going to Twitter and going to @HPVGPodNetwork, where they're constantly being retweeted. And thank you to our patrons at patreon.com/BSGPod. It is thanks to you that we are not losing money making this show, which is an incredible boon and means the world to us. And if you like the show and you want to support it directly, patreon.com/BSGPod is a great place to do that. I think that's everything. We'll talk to you again in a couple weeks. Goodbye.
Goodbye now.